At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. The transfer window is in full swing at Norwich City. A few confirmations of signings this week, a few more maybe on the horizon as well. We're going to try and unpack all of those in the next 45 minutes to an hour or so. Adam Harvey joined by Connor Southwell and Paddy Davitt out in the wild to give you all of the updates from the Norwich City end and all the latest. Of course, we want your comments. We want your questions. Get them down below and we'll answer those as we move through the show. Connor, let's just start with some of the confirmations from this week. A couple of goalkeepers arriving. Riley Mitchell from Stevenage, a young goalkeeper, will be sort of part of the academy in the development side. We've seen Louis Molden arrive, a free agent. After his contract expired at Crystal Palace, he's going to become third choice. And probably the one that I'm probably going to ask you more about and the one we spoke around quite a lot in recent videos, Harry Darling, 25 years old. Centre-back who can play on the left and the right side, you know, lots of championship experience, lots of interest. They got it over the line. So what's your kind of feelings, I suppose, on those three arrivals?
Yeah, I mean, it's been so busy. We've sent Paddy off to nearby Colney just to keep an eye on events, just in case anything moves while we're live. But I think we build it on over the weekend in one of our newsletters that obviously subscribers can get, pinken.com, to go and check out a bit more about that. Shameless plug at the start of the show. But I think we build it then as probably our expectation was this was going to be a busy week. Did any of us probably expect it to be this busy? I'm not sure. Maybe that's a different question. But we've been sport for choice, haven't we, in terms of additions coming through the door. And obviously, clearly, movement on all fronts. Harry Darling, as you mentioned, is clearly the big one within that. We're talking otherwise about some goalkeeper movements. And who knows, there could be clearly another defensive one before the day is through, but we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I think it's been a productive week. I mean, I wrote about this yesterday. They're quick out of the traps. I think it's only Preston and Swansea who have kind of matched them in terms of the early recruits. I mean, to be sat here 10 days out from the end of June and for Norwich to nearly, not quite yet, but nearly have five in the door is pretty good going, particularly when you overlay a head coach search on top of that. So they've come out of the traps. They've got their business done. I think key positions as well that we spoke about, maybe not the key position in the goalkeeping department, but clearly shifting some parts in there were mega in terms of the way that they wanted to do it this summer. And then I think defensively as well, you only need to look at the goals conceded. Column doesn't tell you the whole story. There's a lot more context to wrap around that. But I think we'd all probably concede that defensively they were nowhere near good enough last season. And so to make the moves that they are in that position as well feels wise. And as kind of the early stages and early phase of a transfer window, it's been a successful one. But clearly, as I wrote yesterday, it's not about the pace that you do things. It's about the success and the effectiveness of it. If Norwich City come October haven't won any games of football, then no one will be saying, well, it's all right, because, you know, they got four or five in the door by the end of June. So you have to back it up. But it's a good start, I think you have to say. But I think we would all probably feel that there's plenty more to do. So yeah, busy week. Weekend comes at a nice time, maybe to draw some breath or not. And then obviously I think attentions will turn on to the next pursuit, which as we'll come on to, I think will be between the sticks.
Yes, let's talk about the other potential centre-back arrival that feels like it's pretty swiftly going to happen. That is Jakov Medic, a Croatian centre-back, 26 years of age, currently at Ajax, albeit spent last season out on loan at Bochum in the Bundesliga. They suffered relegation, so his option there didn't get taken up. Good pedigree, you know, feels like it's one that's going to come to a positive conclusion. Paddy, can you sort of give us the latest, I suppose, on that pursuit?
No worries, mate. Yeah, I'm going to have to clarify my precise location. You've spread panic amongst Norwich's training ground now. They'll be rustling in bushes, and also, I'm nowhere near. Well, I am quite near Coney. I'm at the NNN. My lad's got a checkup on his hearing. There's nothing wrong with his hearing when he's getting told off. Let me say, well, there is plenty. He refuses to listen. But anyway, I'll digress. But so I'm sat here. Shout out to our sponsors first. First, I had a very pleasant experience getting the 11A out from the city centre. I can highly recommend that. Sacking his team, but two more important matters. It would seem it's effectively just waiting Ajax now to do. They're the selling club, so I guess they have to initiate elements of the transfer in terms of the paperwork side. It's all done. It's all agreed. All parties are on the same page. Medic and his camp have been in Norfolk. They were here midweek toward Colney. So that tells you, this isn't an 11th hour twist and another club, West Brom, were mentioned, weren't they, and others, maybe lower league, Bundesliga, that could come and swipe him away. You know, he's a Norwich player, pending that confirmation, which ultimately it's down to Ajax now. And when they, you know, process what they need to process in terms of administratively around this, could be this afternoon. If not, I've asked, you know, would the Norwich want it pushed out to the start of next week? And the answer was no. If it's green for go over the weekend, then they'll get that news out there, because that would, to follow on from Connor's point, you know, that would cap a pretty proactive and pretty front foot and a big statement from the start of Liam Manning's era. I don't know. It's obviously a lot of work that was already in process. Medic is one they've looked at for quite a while. So, you know, it's a whole body of back-end work Lee done, his team, Ben Napa, his team, of course. But you know, the fact that this is now within T-minus whatever it is, a week, 10 days, 2 weeks on from Liam Manning being unveiled, it does really underline that this is a new era now. And him and Darling, I don't think there's going to be too many centre forwards looking to come up against them two in the Championship and relishing the physical side of it. He is a big unit. That jawline is something else. So let's hope technically he's got the ability to go with the physique as well. But yeah, as I say, has been in Norfolk. All the boxes have been ticked, and it's now just the wait in the Ajax end. I've checked again on terms of the fee. There's obviously a little bit of clear water between the figures coming out the Norwich end and the Ajax end. It's certainly reported in the Dutch media, but it is £1.8 million initially, plus various add-ons. So, you know, which for me, you know, given the guy's pedigree, that would represent. For another player who's in that mid-20 bracket, we've spoken liberally from the end of last season about it feels that that's an area of the age profile they need to address. Well, they've gone bang, Harry Darling, was he 25? They've now gone, subject to confirmation, bang, Jakub Medic, 26. I mean, and even Grimshaw, I think he's in that bracket as well, isn't he? So they've really looked to start addressing that, and that's probably a process that will continue as we work through the window. The only other thing I would say, that's two centre-backs come in. What does it mean for the ones already here? Well, I mean, there's been plenty of noise around Shane Duffy, really, from before the end of last season, you know, that he might have options in America. I think you speak to the people who matter at Norwich. The sense is that, you know, if there was an avenue for him to explore elsewhere, that they'd be amenable to that. How they get to that point, what it looks like in terms of the finances around that. He still has 12 months left on his existing deal, of course. But it feels to me that we're maybe in a Grant Hanley, Ashley Barnes type scenario. You know, if he doesn't get himself sorted, then do you then go for a mutual agreement and terminate the contract early? Because it's very clear with these two signings, one already in the building, one very close to being in the building, that his days are numbered probably in terms of a frontline option for Norwich. In terms of the younger ones, Hills and Adeboyega, I've asked about that. I think they're very much now in the bracket. They'll come back for pre-season. They're Norwich players, and they will have to try and impress Liam Manning and push themselves up the pecking order. Rory McConville's also in there. Jose Cordoba's in that equation. You would think those, how many is that? One, two, three, four players, plus two new ones. six is probably a bit top heavy. So are they vying to stay in and around it or maybe go out on loan again? I would be surprised if Adeboyega and Hills are here beyond the end of September the 1st. But in the here and now, they've got to come back in and try and impress Liam Manning, and we'll take it from there. But yeah, that's a major overhaul, closely followed, it feels, with the addition of that number one. We'll get into this now, maybe, the goalkeeper situation. And I think they're very clearly wanted to make a statement of intent in those two areas defensively. Liam himself said at his unveiling, didn't he? There was one or two areas he felt they needed to strengthen, needed to address. Well, they've done that centre-back-wise. Once they get this number one in the building, with what's gone on below that, keeper-wise, you would say that's box ticked, and then we'll throw it forward and we'll get into what it looks like further forward midfield and forward areas. So, yeah, all positive. Might be today, Medic. If not, I don't think it'll be too long in waiting for Norwich. What would that be, boys? Number five, if we include Jacob Wright? Number five. That's a hell of a statement from, you know, a two-part window that's not really been open all that long. So, I haven't looked. I've got to be honest, but a bit of a zoomed out. There can't be many other Championship clubs who've done that scale of business. So, you know, kudos to Norwich.
Yeah, I think only Preston and Swansea are sort of on a similar level in terms of incoming. So that sort of signals, I suppose, how quick Norwich are moving out of the traps this summer. Paddy sort of outlined it and teased it a little bit there, Connor, the goalkeeping search and maybe where that's at. Obviously, Kovacevic has been mentioned a few times, the goalkeeper at Sporting who's out of favour there. Solarkic, the Leicester goalkeeper as well. We obviously spoke around that last week. So where are we at with that hunt and maybe those potential, you know, options, I suppose, for Norwich?
Yeah, ongoing, and those two names are part of that search. I think there are others as well, and you know we've kind of said that all the way through as well that they are focusing on, and kind of spoke about this a bit last week when we were speaking around Harry Darling. But the dynamic now, the fact they've got him in the building, the fact that, you know, and Sam wrote a piece, I wrote a piece on the ESC slots. These are kind of plates and things you have to juggle throughout the window. The fact that Harry Darling, who you would expect to come in and play a significant portion of minutes for Norwich City, that probably does allow them potentially to go overseas with a goalkeeper. It doesn't probably limit them to domestically. I think if they'd missed out on Darling and only Medic had come in, and then maybe you have to look for a homegrown keeper to play a lot of those minutes. There's whole lots of other stuff that I won't get into, but essentially the more English minutes you have, the more ESC slots you get as well. So all of this kind of adds up, and now that balance is probably a little bit better for them to go overseas. So if they wanted to now go and try and push for a Kovacevic from Sporting, I think they could. They could do that. Equally, clearly, Stolarczyk, I've been practicing that since last week, Adam, is one that they like. And, you know, obviously reports elsewhere, not ones that we've kind of added to, but have suggested they've had a bid rejected for him. Clearly, there would be a reticence from Leicester to sell. And as we mapped out again last week, there's clearly the situation with Hermansson that would need to shift as well in order for him to be available this summer. So, yeah, I think now, given what we've just outlined, once Medic is in the building, I'd probably expect the number one search to step up. Certainly the people that we've been speaking to have made it clear that they're very keen to get one in, ideally before the start of pre-season. The world doesn't always work like that, and sometimes you have to wait, and it's better to wait and get the right player than go quickly and get the wrong one. But the hope is, obviously, the players return for testing towards the end of this month, and then it'll be really sort of early July when it really picks up. And obviously that first pre-season game against Northampton at Colney behind closed doors is the 12th, isn't it? So that's really when they could do with a number one being in the building. Before that point, in an ideal world, within the next 10 days or so. And clearly, as we've seen with the Stolarczyk reports, with the Kovacevic reports, obviously that name that we put out there a while ago, they have been looking and they are active on this front. It's just clearly about, as we said, things aligning and getting to a stage of a deal where you can progress it. And that's the bit that takes time. Certainly, you read the reports at the Portuguese ends on Kovacevic, and unlike maybe Stolarczyk, there does feel like there is a window there where Sporting would be willing to speak about kind of all kind of deals, be that permanent or loans with options and obligations and all of that route. I think Norwich would always favour a permanent deal for anybody. That tends to be the way that they do it. And of course, that would be a factor. I think if they could get a permanent deal for someone else and not Kovacevic or not Stolarczyk, then they would probably opt to do that permanent one. And it's a key position. It's one you've got to get right. So I think it's probably a good thing that they're taking their time and assessing multiple targets and trying to find deals that work for them. But yeah, the Harry Darling addition, does allow them to maybe broaden their search overseas, which initially I think there was a bit of concern that if he didn't sign, if he did join someone else, that potentially they'd have to go perhaps a little bit more domestic. So, yeah, that's where we are with it. I'd expect it now to step up. I would be shocked if after Medic, the next one through the door wasn't a goalkeeper, wasn't the number one. But look, these things can take time, as we said, so it wouldn't be beyond the realms that that's not the case. So yeah, again, a bit of watch this space, and it doesn't really feel like anything's moved on that front this week. But clearly, it's part of a wider goalkeeping revamp. Dan Grimshaw coming in, Louis Molden coming in, a lower level Riley Mitchell coming in this week as well from Stevenage, and who they've paid a small fee for. He'll be the starting under 21s goalkeeper. You know, and as Paddy mapped out in a piece earlier this week, you can't carry a squad with 6-7 goalkeepers. So I think it looks a bit ominous for George Long, for Vicente Reyes and for Dan Barden as well in that area. And, you know, I wrote a piece on this yesterday. If you look at the numbers and the statistics and probably the chasm as well of depth, the gap between Gunn and probably those goalkeepers that came in underneath him was too great last season. And it wasn't Gunn's best campaign by probably his own admission, really. So that was something that they needed to address. And clearly in Tony Roberts, they've got someone who is in post in a summer as well. So he's had a long period of time now to assess those goalkeepers in the building to make the judgment. It's pretty clear. And again, I don't think you have to be a pro-licensed goalkeeping coach to come to the conclusion that Norwich City needed new goalkeepers after last season. I think that was pretty obvious. The stats show it. The eye test showed it. And yeah, they're cracking on with it. But I can understand why fans, until that number one is in the building, are a little bit uncertain about it, and maybe a little bit concerned with every day that goes by that there isn't one. But there will be one, and they will get there. So it's just about playing the waiting game and getting things lined up. So that's where we are currently. And you know, as I said, I suspect now, once that Medic deal is confirmed in due course, it will be the number one goalkeeper that is very much next on the list as one of their top priorities.
Yeah, before we move on to maybe kind of the attacking areas and potential rumours and links from the last week or so, just a couple of comments maybe around the defensive side. Aidzo saying Manning will play a back five, ? I suppose, in reference to a couple of centre-backs arriving. What do you sort of make of that, Paddy? Because there's been a lot of discussion on socials this week. Is that maybe the way Manning's going to go, with more of a flat back three with a couple of wing-backs, or do you expect him to opt for the four?
Funnily enough, I have asked that question of, again, people in and around the football club, and it does. The answer would infer it isn't, you know, black and white. I mean, he did play the three, and with a huge degree of success in terms of, by common consent, a Bristol squad. They probably weren't top six, but he got them in there, and that was obviously down to his coaching ability and extracting more from the resource, which Ben Napper referenced in the official unveiling. But also that was a very fluid system. I mean, to my mind, it was the three, and then you had Knight and then Bird, very key operators in the middle of the park, and it was almost a 3-4-1-2, rather than wing-backs in the sense of three and then, you know, two ahead of those. So I wouldn't, at this stage, I wouldn't take it as Norwich will be from game one in the Championship, week in, week out, always locked into a back three. Clearly, it's a head coach who favours that system. He's had some success with that system last season. But again, having asked the question, the feedback was, well, no, what he wants and moves for Darling, moves for Medic are underlining that. He just wants good defenders. He wants good defenders to give him the options, allied to the players who he's clearly going to think can step in and work within what he's demanding, i.e. the Callum Fishers, the Lucy Mahovos, maybe Ben Crezeni. We've already referenced McConville, Cordoba and the other two younger centre-backs. Jack Stacey, we can't forget him. He's in the equation at this stage. So, yeah, I certainly at this stage, because we haven't seen a Liam Manning Norwich, we won't see a Liam Manning Norwich until pre-season. And we all know pre-season can be a little bit of a sleight of hand in terms of systems, looking at players. It's more about fitness minutes, the first part of pre-season, isn't it? So I wouldn't be drawing any hard or fast conclusions ahead of the first Championship game of the weekend of, was it August the 10th, 9th and 10th? So, but If it is going to be a three, then you would sense that he's now adding elements that would allow him to play that. I'm pretty sure Darling's fairly comfortable in a three and has played that, played under Manning, of course, before, so he'll know the demands placed on him in that area of the pitch. Medic, I haven't done too much research into him, but if you play for Ajax, then, you know, historic touch point of that club is that technically you're a very good operator and you're able to handle the ball. So for me, at this stage, too early to say, yes, Liam Manning's Norwich will be a defensive three shape. but clearly, you know, a coach who's used it to such a good effect at Bristol, it's not beyond the realms that, you know, it does evolve into that. But at this stage, I think it's a little bit too premature to say that Norwich are now going to undergo this radical shift in terms of defensive shape.
Yeah, anything you want to add to that, Connor, in terms of your feelings and inclinations, I suppose, on the way Norwich might play next season?
Yeah, again, I've said this a few times. I'd concur with Paddy. I think it is A, too early, but B, I think an attempt to try and draw any conclusion from Liam Manning and the system that he will play is probably a little bit too premature. You look at what he's played throughout his career predominantly, and it's 4-2-3-1. That's the formation that he's played more often than not. Clearly, there's been back threes in that as well. There was at Bristol, there was at Oxford, there was at MK Dons as well. But again, I wouldn't get too hung up on kind of formation, certainly at base level. I think we saw last season, Norwich played a 4-3-3, but at times that was actually a 3-2-5. At times it was a back three they built up with, and they had slightly different combinations. Sometimes it was a 3-3, and there are so many different variants when you build up, and clearly in possession and out of possession shapes are very, very similar or very different, sorry. And Liam Manning, I think, as someone pointed out, used kind of they were listed as playing a back three for Bristol City, but it was actually more of a box midfield and a flat back four in possession. So it can completely change. I wouldn't necessarily conclude that Norwich City have signed two centre backs, therefore it's definitely a back three. I think that would be the same. Well, Norwich have signed three goalkeepers. They must be playing with two next season. I think it's just, they're not going to end the transfer window with six centre backs in the building, as Paddy outlined earlier. I don't see that being the case. Now, clearly they are equipped, and as Paddy said, Harry Darling has played in the back three and has history of playing in the back three. Also played in a two as well with Ben Cabango. I've done not to spoil anything, but I've done a chat with Dan O'Hagan, German football expert, on Jakov Medic, and he speaks about him. That will obviously be available once that is confirmed. I had to do it because he's kind of covering the Club World Cup, so we've got that in the can. If it doesn't happen from here, you'll never see it, and you can forget that I mentioned this, but hopefully that's not the case. But he made the point as well that at St. Pauli and at Borkum last year, Medic played in a back three, so he has that experience as well. Cordoba, I think there's probably an argument that certainly where he's at and the drop-off in his form, you could see where he could be as a left-sided option of a back three. So I think, look, they'll have the options to do it. It wouldn't surprise me if at some stage they will do it. But I'm with Paddy. I think it's far too early to be drawing those conclusions that Norwich are buying centre-backs, therefore it must mean a back three, because actually Liam Manning's systems have often been quite fluid and quite versatile. And he's not in the same way as Johannes coming in last summer, where we kind of knew how he was going to play and what he was going to do. I think with Liam Manning, there's a lot more up in the air. I think he will come in and assess his options, because as much as we talk about the centre-backs, beyond maybe Jack Stacey, I wouldn't say those full-back options that Norwich have are what you would classify as kind of natural wing-backs. I think Mahovo could do it, but the sample size, I think, of seeing him was probably too small to say that with 100% confidence. Kellen Fisher, I think, could do it as well, but I think he's probably more comfortable as kind of a conventional fullback, so to speak. So yeah, these are all the puzzle pieces that he will have to put together and slot together to make something functional. But yeah, at the moment, I just think it's far too early to conclude that all of this means that Norwich City will play a back three. They might do, but equally at the moment, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a back four either.
Yeah, I'll have to wait and see. Pre-season is sort of swiftly on the horizon, so that maybe will give us a few indications. Let's move to more attacking targets, potentially. A question here on Tyrese Dolan at Blackburn, who there was a report yesterday maybe suggesting that Liam Manning has spoke to Dolan, and you know, maybe there was potential that he might be arriving at Carrow this summer. I know you put the update out there yesterday, Connor, sort of more where the club are at in terms of him. Plenty of admirers across the Championship, but doesn't feel like one who will be moving to Norwich this summer.
No, it doesn't. And I think just purely financially where he is at in his life and his career, I don't think that's going to be viable for many Championship teams, if I'm completely honest. There is interest from Championship, clearly. He's a very good player. And similar conversation around Harry Darling. You look at his profile to have played 200 games. Liam Manning spoke about this. Ben Napper spoke about this. When we think of experience, I think often we think of kind of 30-plus-year-olds. But actually, you know, there's a man who's played 200 games for Blackburn, played a lot of Championship football, and is only 23. There's obviously a training compensation element that Blackburn will be owed as well that comes into the conversation. So not as simplistic as maybe the Harry Darling one is, because it will involve some communication with Blackburn. And he could still stay at Blackburn as well. I think that's still a very real option. reports from the Northwest, from sort of our colleague who covers Blackburn, is that he hasn't had any kind of official offers. I'm sure in Norwich's various, Paddy did a very good chat with Lee Dunn earlier this year, which people can go back and read. But the way it works is Norwich essentially have almost a vault, is the best way to think of it, of players that they're constantly looking at, constantly updating, constantly monitoring. And then it's about timing your run. I think Medic is a perfect example of this. You look at somebody who, you know, he would have been on their radar 2 years ago when he was at St. Pauli. In fact, we know he was. And at that stage, when you've got a club like Ajax in for him, he's working under Fabian Hertzler as well, the Brighton boss, who is very technical. Clearly, Norwich City weren't going to be in an area where they could compete with Ajax, but they've continued to keep tabs on him. And now they've got a situation where maybe after a difficult year at Ajax, probably through no fault of his own, really, it was a difficult year for the club, the 23-24 one. But then obviously, maybe Dan O'Hagan said this, picked the wrong club in terms of going to Borkum, but it, you know, more stylistically wasn't the best fit rather than performance-wise. Suddenly he becomes available. So I'm sure they have assessed Dolan in a similar way, as plenty of championship teams will, but not one that they are active on at the moment. And I think for the levels of competition and the finances involved in that, it would be a very difficult one to do. But I'm sure if you asked a lot of clubs, if he was a player they liked across the championship, they would say yes for all of the reasons stated. And every time I've seen him play, I've always been really impressed by him. And it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up, because at the moment, it sounds like there's a lot of interest, but probably not a lot of offers for him at this moment in time. And see the big two in Scotland have been linked. You could kind of see that. We'll see where he ends up. But we're pretty sure at this stage, it's not going to be Norwich City. He's not one they're pursuing at this moment in time.
Yeah, just steering away from transfers very sort of quickly, were a few people asking around maybe the assistants and whether they're going to be coming to Carrow Road. Nigel saying, when are Liam Manning's coaching staff joining him? I think George also with a similar question, what's the situation with the coaches at Bristol? I wish to laugh to them. And Robert saying, do you think there's a solid backup plan if Bristol manager decides to keep the existing backroom staff? Of course, they appointed Gerard Struber yesterday, their director, John Lansdowne. He sort of had a few quotes out there around those two, who's still being, you know, contracted to Bristol and still expected to work for them. What's kind of the situation there, Paddy? Is that one that's still being worked on in the background by Norwich?
Well, I mean, the situation, Adam, is what it's been from the moment that obviously we're able to trigger Liam Manning's compensation factor and pave the way to him becoming Norwich's new head coach, which is there is compensation figures around Crouse and Hogg. The clubs haven't managed to find common ground on the compensatory levels, and therefore the dialogue has continued. So for me, I read those Lansdowne quotes yesterday as a little bit maybe of a shot across the bow, as a little public message to Norwich that if your tactic is, well, we'll wait this out because Struber will come in, he'll bring his own staff. I think he's got a long-time assistant who's been at all the clubs he's been at in recent years. It's logical to assume he probably doesn't want to inherit two assistant managers. I think if I'm right in saying their titles were at Bristol and the Manning, assistant coaches, therefore they'll be surplus to requirements. So for me, Lansdowne's quotes were more filtered through that. My sense is that there probably will be a compensatory level that both clubs accept, because ultimately, you know, if he does want to bring Struber, this is bring his own staff, they're going to have to move on Crouse and Hogg, and they might as well get some money as opposed to no money for me. So, yeah, the expectation still, every time you raise this with Norwich, is that Liam Manning will be reunited with those two. It's just a case of when, effectively, and the route to achieving that. At this stage, I think the question there that flashed up was, is there a plan B? I don't think they feel that they need a plan B at this stage. Let's hope that remains the case, because certainly with Hogg, he's been with him every step of the way. They've talked almost about that telepathic understanding. They've got very different characters in terms of their personalities, but the blend has worked perfectly. They've got each other's back. So I'm pretty sure Liam Manning doesn't want to go into this chapter of his coaching career without Chris Hogg. Crouse has come with him a little bit later on that journey, Oxford onwards. Somebody who Ben Napper knows very well from their time together in Arsenal's academy. My sense is that, again, less that there's a jeopardy, it won't happen. It's just a case of the timing of this and, you know, maybe meeting somewhere that's agreeable to both clubs in terms of the compensatory element. But of course, you know, Struber, if he goes out now in quick order, I didn't cover that yesterday, if I'm honest, I was off yesterday. I don't know if there's been any announcement or talk around his backroom staff, what was said about that. But I'd be amazed if he doesn't want to bring his own staff. So if that is the case, I think it might accelerate reasonably quickly from this point.
Yeah, one to watch. Before we talk potential outgoings, Connor, just going to talk about some academy signings and maybe where we're at with those. One that was sort of, I suppose, out there a little bit more this week, Reece Wilkes, a young lad from Fleetwood, I think he's 16, played for England sort of youth under 15 level. So clearly a talented young player, and there's a few others on the fringes. Where are we at in terms of maybe academy incomings?
Yeah, I think that one's close and won't be the last they do this window by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, we speak about the first team revamp. There's a real need to revamp that under 21 and probably 18s group as well, just because of the numbers of bodies they've lost through various kind of different routes and whatnot. They don't actually have that many scholars. Clearly, there'll be a day where they sign quite a few more of those. But yeah, he's one midfielder. Fleetwood already made his senior debut. I think he's 16, isn't he, currently? And made his senior debut as a 15-year-old. So that goes to show how highly rated he was there. He was involved in England's under-16 team, I think, and was the only player outside of a Premier League and Championship club to be called into that squad. So there's clearly pedigree there. And I'm sure there's been lots of interest from elsewhere in him. So yeah, probably not one that I would expect, today or over the weekend, but probably in the weeks ahead, I would expect that to be confirmed. And obviously a few more within those. Luke Towler's another one who they've had on trial at the back end of the season, currently at Ipswich Town, if we can say that name on the show, and probably expect him to come into it as well. And there are a few others that we know they're kind of working on in the background as well, that I'd probably expect to get confirmed in due course at various stages over the summer. Clearly, with academy signings, they are less at the forefront, so they can be pushed onto the back burner a lot more when they come out, and a lot of them do come out when they sit down and actually either sign pro contracts or sign sort of terms on the scholarship when they have that day where you're seeing kind of the young guys with Delia and Michael in the past and with Neil Adams and whatnot as well. So I'd expect a lot of them to come out there. So yeah, that's kind of where we are on that front. He will be one, and he won't be the last one.
Yeah, talking of outgoings, maybe where are we at with Borja Sainz, Paddy? Because clearly he's kind of the one that I suppose maybe a lot of fans are expecting to depart the building in terms of sort of the big players first. Had the links to Porto, he's had the links to Bilbao, he's had the links to Napoli, a few different clubs. So where's kind of that search and that saga going at the moment?
Nowhere quickly, Adam. I think it's safe to say. I think, if you're at Norwich, anything to do with recruitment this week has very much been about incomings and arrivals, and the focus has gone into that. Checked again this morning. Sergeant, nothing has moved on there from pretty much the situation or the position that Ben Napper maps out at Liam Manning's unveiling. They're aware of interest. That hasn't translated in anything of a firm nature, not in the way that it had with Borja Sainz. So, always felt from the start, hasn't it, that it's probably going to be a longer saga around Sargent in terms of back end of the summer, because two reasons: the contractual security Norwich have got, he's 28, isn't he, 2028, and also the figure that they would reasonably expect to be able to get for a player who's proven himself beyond any measure, a proven Championship goal scorer. Yes, there's question marks if his club's coming in at the higher level, but you're still looking at his age profile, the fact that he's stylistically quite a rare breed now, those sort of powerful number nine type strikers. So for me, that's mid 20 millions onwards. That starts with those deals don't tend to happen too often at the start of the summer. So for now, holding pattern with Sargent. With Sainz, apparently the Porto were obviously the club, Connor, I think, ran it yesterday, that who have showing their hands to a greater degree than, Napoli were obviously interested, but Porto have led the chase in terms of something that's moved beyond speculation and maybe discussions to actually a formal proposal. They are one of these clubs out in America at the Club World Cup. Been told this morning that apparently from the group stage onwards, that the window for those clubs reopens. Obviously now Norwich, the clubs in the English Championship, are able to trade again, and Norwich have underlined that this past week. But if Porto were to get through, I haven't followed it to the point where I can tell you where they are in terms of their group at the moment, but if they get through, the window reopens, so there's nothing to preclude them from actually coming back to Norwich and moving that forward. I did see a link, how true or not it is, but that they were one of the clubs who are just monitoring Tyler Dibbling, who's a very, very hot prospect at Southampton. If that is the case, then it shows you that they're obviously slightly willing to commit vaster sums for wide reinforcements. I wouldn't necessarily think they have much of a chance with Tyler Dibbling. you look at some of the clubs he's been linked with in the UK. But that tells me that maybe Saints is one of a collection of wide players that, that they have identified their recruitment types that they want to add this coming summer. But both Porto, both Napoli, and any other potential suitor haven't got close to the levels of what Norwich wants. So until any club does, then he remains a Norwich player. What that figure is, you speak to different people, but I've felt all along you're in John Rowe territory and maybe a little bit higher, which is sort of 14 million upwards English pounds. So if that is the case, then clubs are going to have to show their hand. There's, of course, the Spanish dimension, the Athletic Bilbao, long-time link, his first club, I think, reportedly and also anecdotally, that's the club he would actually like if it was Borja's decision to go to, back to. The emotional pull of that, the fact that he gets Champions League football as they've qualified next season. That seems to be a situation that will play out around Nico Williams, who is their very, very prized asset, Spanish Euro winner, who's, by all accounts, Barcelona are getting a long way down the road to making that deal happen. That happens, you can then see a domino effect in terms of Bilbao follow up what is clearly an interest with a firm proposal. So for me, it still feels this saga ends with Borja Sainz back to Spain, and probably if it is to be Spain, Bilbao, Villarreal or another club again who can offer him Champions League football who are interested, but again not to the point where either of those clubs have tested Norwich's resolve with a formal offer. So for me, in the here and now, sat here today on this park bench in the lovely surroundings of the NNN, I don't feel it's either of those are moving anything quickly. But, you know, if Williams gets done, then I could see an acceleration in terms of the Borja Sainz dimension. But, you know, as Ben Napper said, neither of those players, zooming out, look how he conducted his outgoing business last summer either. Gabby Zara to a lesser extent, but certainly John Rowe and then even Abu Kamara. If clubs don't match the valuation, then it's gonna be a long drawn out affair, really. So there's no way, particularly with the American backstop now, that Norwich are going to be selling what they deem to be below market value for either Saints or Sargent. So it's really for clubs now to come to the table with offers that at least it's a negotiating basis rather than something that's way off the spectrum of what Norwich would deem acceptable offers for those two players, and then you can see it accelerating from there. But no, if you ask me now, Adam, on this Friday afternoon here in Norwich, has it moved forward with either of those? The situation is unchanged, but as I say, maybe due to events elsewhere, i.e. Nico Williams's future, I think that could move hopefully a little bit quickly, because the reality is Borja Sainz and Norwich is probably a story that's come to an end, and it's just how you manage the ending element of that. And if you're Norwich, you want to drive the hardest price you can get, but ideally get him off the payroll, out of the club, and then maybe reinvest those funds for what they're trying to do incoming-wise in forward areas, which they'll inevitably need to do. Sainz is out of the building. We've had a section there on Tyrese Dolan. Borja Sainz is sold. They will need to address that in terms of the squad, clearly.
Yes, let's dip into a few of the comments. Hugh saying, many names mentioned for the goalkeeper, centre-back, centre-midfield spot. City have an interest in or going to sign. Any names you're hearing we might have an interest in if/when Sargent moves on seems quieter there. So I suppose you can sort of broaden that out to sort of attackers more generally. Connor, is there anybody that you sort of heard whispered about?
Yes, nothing I'd commit to at the moment. Is probably fair to say. Look, I think that as Paddy mapped out there with Sargent, it's clear to me that there are various stages of a summer window and the way that windows work generally. And you know, we spoke about this, I think, last week. I think we were in Austria by the time Ben Krasene came through the door, and I'm pretty sure he was the second behind Cordoba edition of last summer, and then it moved pretty quickly thereafter. So June is a pretty quiet month generally in football. The fact that Norwich have got as much done as they have in this period, I think, is kudos to them and the preparation that they put building into this summer. As we said, it would have been easy with a head coach search to sort of overlay on top of that for things and cans to be kicked down the road. And you do that and you miss out on players, and maybe Harry Darling opts to go somewhere else, and maybe Majdic goes to West Brom and whatnot. So the fact they've been proactive is key to them. But clearly, as well, it's about timing a lot of transfers, and we kind of said it earlier, you have to get a lot of things on the same page. You have to get clubs agreeing to deals, players agreeing to deals, agents agreeing to deals, and that's a complex process because sometimes it's in players' interest to wait it out and to see what else comes sort of onto the table. So just because they haven't really been linked with wingers, or because we haven't really been talking about wingers, that doesn't mean they don't need one, don't want one. I think clearly Lewis Dobbin was one they were talking to and are still talking to. I think probably with every day that goes on, it feels less likely that he would come back, but it's not beyond the realms. They've lost Odell Hernandez, as Paddy has spoken about there. We're expecting them to lose Borja Sainz. They will need to replace in that area, because at the moment we're talking about Matej Jurasek, who I think has over the last 6 months shown at this stage, he's not one that Norwich can really sort of hang their hat on in wide areas. And you know, maybe an Elliot Miles, there might be someone I'm missing, so shout at me if I am. But there's not a host of wide options that they have at this moment in time. So I would expect that at some stage to become the focus. Clearly, at the moment, it's been on the goalkeeping department, on the defensive department, and obviously we know they want a central midfielder as well. So there will be forward options. There will be wingers that come in. I've no doubt about that. Probably just in maybe the second half or the second stage or the second phase of their plan at the moment. In terms of the striker, though, I see that pretty straightforward. I think it's going to be very difficult for them to sign a striker before they sell Josh Sargent, because it's difficult to attract players. We saw that when Temi Pukki was here. They really struggled to attract a second-choice striker. In the end, Adam Eder probably carried a lot of that, and it's probably hindered his development, if we're being honest, because he didn't play a lot of football until he really joined Celtic on loan. So you have to get the right kind of character. Clearly, Antti Siinats is one. But I think if you know, and previously we've seen this when Stuart Webber is in the building, quite often they would bring in players to replace players before they were sold. I don't get the sense that's the case with a striker position on this occasion. Clearly, there will be contingency planning and options being looked at and researched. So they are in a position where, by if a club does meet their valuation of Josh Sargent, bang, 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 they're in a position where they can bring one in. And, you know, Ben Napper said to Radio Norfolk that they would be willing to pay a significant transfer fee to do that, because strikers cost money and we know that. So, yeah, I think there's probably a few more dominoes that need to fall in the attacking areas before they look to recruit them. But by any stretch of the imagination, I wouldn't say that just because there haven't been many links with wingers, or because the last week hasn't seen any wingers kind of close to being bought in, that they aren't looking for them. I think that's, again, maybe too simplistic an analysis as well. So, yeah, probably both of those positions are ones that I think maybe are slightly more dependent on players outgoing, but probably not completely. I think they're probably, in truth, just had priorities and deals that they've had to get done maybe a little bit quicker in the first bit of the window. And then, obviously, you come back later on, and clearly July is a month where a lot happens, August as well. So that's how I see it anyway. And clearly with that striker one, as Paddy said, I think that is, I'm afraid, probably going to rumble on quite late because of the Sargent situation. They see Antti Siinats as the number nine. They will be the two, I suspect, that start the championship season, probably, unless that Sargent one moves quicker than a lot of us suspect. What wouldn't surprise me maybe is a winger who could double up and play as a striker. Clearly, Emi Marcondes played a false nine in at points of last season as a real last resort. So, yeah, I think they were happy to go out of the January window with two. I suspect that will be maybe what they try and carry next season. Could they do with a third? I think they probably could. We had this debate in January. But equally, if you have a third striker, and they tried to do that with Sydney van Hooijdonk back in 18 months ago in that January, and they don't kick a ball and it doesn't really work, that's a very difficult position to manage and to have a player in when you're only going to play with one striker, which Liam Manning is. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. But yeah, I think basically the attacking talent is probably to come later in the window.
Yeah, a few people may have mentioned the other big hitter in the comments. Jeffman saying, cheers as always for what you do, lads. But should we be surprised with the lack of Nunez links? His form last season may help us get him on a better deal if nobody comes in. Matt basically asking the same question on Nunez and Saur Elliott as well, saying, what are the chances of Nunez staying for the midfield, do you reckon? So I suppose maybe surprised there's not been any rumours around him yet, Paddy, or maybe one to watch that, you know, maybe later on in the window these rumours might surface.
Yeah, that's my reading of it. I think he's just come off the back of... he was with Chile for World Cup qualifiers. I mean, he didn't get a huge amount of game time. There was the iconic picture which you found put out on socials of him shaking hands with Messi, which I'm sure that'll be gone in the hanging in the Nunez house somewhere in South America. But so for me, the fact that he was involved with his country qualifiers, I'm sure that was his focus in terms of his own future. So I'm not surprised it's been... Let's be honest, I haven't seen one link. In contrast to, was it last summer? I lose track now. The Trabzonspor, that was almost a mini saga all of its own making. You know, that kept going back and forth. They didn't hit the number that Norwich wanted. And it went down a dead end and he remained here. And then when he was fit, I thought it was for me a season where he really showed what he could do for Norwich and what he could do in the Championship. You know, and the attributes that he had married very well with what Johannes wanted from his central midfielders. Now, obviously, there's a new man in town, but you know, I would be personally looking to try and keep him in the building. I think, you know, it's all about optics, and if you lost Science, you lost Sargent, and you lost Nunes. Okay, the fact that they're bringing in players like the Darling, you know, they get Medic through the door, even though that, you know, that last comment there suggests that he hadn't really covered himself in glory at Ajax, but still looks like a good signing. It shows that the wheel is turning and that maybe they are addressing some of the areas in the squad. But just to lose three, for me, proven copper bottom Championship performers in one window for a club who clearly, absolutely, undoubtedly will have a top six ambition this coming season, it feels like a big ask to refresh the squad when you've lost those three. So, you know, on the evidence of it, Science looks like that will happen. Sargent could happen. Let's hope Nunes is one that they could, you know, either contractually, they sit down, he's one who's got 12 months left, so can they get him on a new deal? Or do they just, you know, your Atanasio, your Napa, do you look at it and just think, look, the value of him in a Liam Manning team, in the Championship, building on what he did last season, keeping him fit, is that greater than cashing out at, I don't know, let's say hypothetically, three and a half million, two and a half million, as opposed to letting him go on a free next summer? For me personally, you keep him. Because, as we've discussed, he goes. We know they want to bring in a centre mid. You're probably going to have to do another centre mid. And where are you getting for that sort of sum, a player who has shown, could go on to show? Because you would hope now, with what he experienced last season, that he would come back and be an even better operator in the Championship. And a player of that ilk, I think, is going to cost them certainly more than they would get this summer window. So, listen, you know, it may change, and later in the summer there may be clubs who come and do test Norwich's resolve, and if they hit a number that Napa feels is worthy of, you know, cashing out, then the deal gets done. I think what we haven't talked about in this segment is, what does Nunes want? What does he and his agents and his representatives and his family want? Are they looking at it? He came in the summer with Gabby Zara. He's looked at Gabby Zara. He's gone on, done what he's done now with Galatasaray, and now he's getting linked with, if you believe the reports, Man City, Manchester United. That level of club, and probably will move on at some point. And the way he's progressed his career, if you're Nunes, are you looking at that and feeling, well, what have I left to do in the Championship? You know, maybe I want to explore other opportunities. Maybe I want to have something of the acceleration in his career that maybe Gabby Zara is on the cusp of doing. So, you know, again, it comes down to, if Nunes wants a move, then it's for him and his representatives to go and smoke out offers that would be at a level that Ben Knapp would be willing to trade. I just hope that they look at it holistically and they think, we're going to probably lose Science. We may lose Sargent. Do you lose Nunes as well? And for me, the answer would be no. You try and keep one of those three in the building and you build around them, because, as Connor rightly says, they do want to bring in a centre mid. I would hope that isn't a centre mid because they feel Bojan Science is going. It's an embellishment to a midfield that has Jacob Wright now, that has Nunes, that has Danny McLean still. And then obviously the younger elements in and around that as well. So, you know, Forson, Liam Gibbs, Schwartau as well. So, yeah, for me, not surprised there's been nothing really around him and his name, just because, you know, he's only just come off the back of World Cup qualifiers. I'd be surprised if there isn't some speculation around him as we progress through the summer, but he's one I'd be looking to keep. And okay, if you have to take the hit contractually and he goes for free next summer, then so be it. But you'd hope that's off the back of him being a real major player in a Championship midfield for Norwich this coming season.
Yep. A few other people maybe mentioning players currently in the building. Chingford Canary sort of mentioning Kenny McLean and the Rangers. Links that yet haven't surfaced this summer. Does he maybe have a future, Matt, kind of on a similar line of thought? McLean, is he a Manning player? What do you think of his role in the team? Will he still be captain? And maybe just sort of bringing in Ken Abo as well. Is he expected to go out on loan again? His pathway was much talked about under Wagner. It seems to have stalled. So maybe just take those two, Connor.
Yeah, on Kenny, I think is an interesting one, similarly to Duffy in his final 12 months, I think, unless you boys correct me, I'm pretty sure that's right. I think there is an option on that, though, isn't there? So, yeah, 12 months he's got left. It's going to be really interesting to see what sort of role he plays and where they'd be at with him. I think clearly you could see a world where Liam Manning utilises him in a host of positions. Whether that's maybe as frontline as he's been in recent seasons is probably up for debate. And whether he would be comfortable with that, only he can answer. Who knows? He could be. And would it surprise me if he came and played 40 games again in the championship? No, because I think every coach previously to Liam Manning has utilised Kenny McLean and utilised him heavily in their team because of the consistency that he brings, the reliability that he brings and those intangible qualities, the leadership qualities. And, you know, similarly to Grant Hanley, really, would I expect a change in captaincy? Not if he's here. I think he's the club captain. I could see that being the case, whether he is the captain on the pitch and the one that wears the armband. Clearly, if he plays, that's the case. If not, then probably not. But again, at what stage do Norwich begin to try and pivot to a world beyond Kenny McLean? And, you know, clearly Jacob Wright and signing him on a permanent deal would have been part of that process, I would imagine. We've spoken about probably the need to get another central midfielder. So if that happens, and maybe a few games into the championship season, McLean hasn't got many minutes, and you know, we are in a world, of course, now where there's 9 substitutes, so the opportunities are more than they were previously, even if you're not kind of a starter every week. So probably comes down to him, really, for me. Is he somebody that's happy to play that role and to be in that space? Because clearly he's somebody that's invaluable to the dressing room. You see that, people you speak to, as well as leadership qualities, and somebody who's done remarkably well for Norwich for a long period of time. So for me, and with Duffy, and I've pivoted this again, I think, you know, and Paddy outlined it, you look at Ashley Barnes and Grant Hanley, they were both Norwich City players after the summer window. It was actually in January where their situations probably came to a head, because it's difficult at the moment to see a situation, not impossible, but difficult, I think, at this stage to see a position, particularly with Duffy, maybe less so with McLean, where maybe clubs came in and matched the level of money that they were on and obviously offered them more security than they're on at Norwich. We'll be talking probably about 2-year deals at this stage of their careers, and they are both kind of 30 plus. It's not impossible. It does happen. Whereas, you know, an 18-month deal in January feels like less of a risk to clubs. So I think it's definitely one to watch. I feel at the moment I'm probably leaning more towards him staying than going. But that's not to say he gets an opportunity that, you know, let's say a Rangers for argument's sake, because he's been linked with them every single summer since creation, I think. If they came in with a 2-year deal and you know, could offer him the same money, I think it would make sense for him and his family to explore that. And it would probably make sense for Norwich to explore that as well. Clearly that has to happen. So yeah, I think it's a bit of watch this space on Kenny, and it's going to be really intriguing to see the level of involvement he has under Liam Manning, and whether that is as much as he had under David Wagner, under Johannes Ovtorup. Clearly that was a suspension and injury, well, health really, rather than injury, sort of ridden season last year. He didn't play probably as much or to the level that he would like. But I can see a world where he is a very important asset under Liam Manning, and I can probably also see a world where maybe he doesn't play that often. So again, they want a central midfielder. What they do in that area and that position over the summer will be obviously play a role in it and where exactly he is in the pecking order. So, yeah, well, him and Duffy wouldn't surprise me if it dragged into January with those two, as it did with Barnes, Hanley, I think Fashnacht as well. So, yeah, I think watch this space on him. It's going to be really interesting to see how both of their situations evolve over the coming months, I think.
Yes, Andy's saying Andrew Moran was name checked in a newsletter the other day. Any more on him? Have you got anything else to add on that, Paddy?
No, I mean, a bit like Dolan, he's clearly one who profile wise would be flagged and on Norwich's radar. You know, a young attacking midfielder, Premier League club. He's at Brighton, but you know, had a very good loan at Blackburn. There was a game in the Wagner era. I don't know if you recall. You probably don't wish to recall it. I think Norwich got beat 3-1 at Carr Road, and he had 2 assists that day. And looked a very good player, very good player, very versatile as well, can play both sides of that sort of midfield area. But no, nothing that would suggest thereafter that that's one that they've followed up on at this stage. But, you know, it's you haven't seen anything yet, as the old saying goes, because these things will start to now ramp up. And once clubs start to come back for pre-season, you know, we get past tournaments that nobody's really watching, are they? But you will see a marked uptick as we get closer to the football season proper, and obviously the end of the window, September the 1st. But no, I don't think that's one that it feels actively that it would have progressed beyond, you know, like Medic, like Dolan, you know, et al., Kovacevic, players who would, through a painstaking, as Ben Napper said, you know, processes never stop, you know, whether it's a head coach appointment, whether it's targeting players, whether it's profiling players for areas of a squad where Norwich feel they might be light in the mid to longer term. You know, that process, given the data emphasis Norwich have placed now, given the, you know, the scale of that operation at Colney, that's just an ongoing process. So, but to directly answer the question, Andrew Moran isn't one at this point who sounds like he's an active target.
Yeah, a couple of late questions we'll answer before we round off. Ron saying, what level of fee would you expect us to pay for a number one? I mean, that kind of ties in a little bit with Max saying, would Panda potentially have Hull be a target? Not discussed reports. He's got interest from Championship clubs. So sort of a little bit there on goalkeepers, Connor.
Not heard his name mentioned, but that doesn't mean no. I've not seen those reports, so I can't really comment. Clearly, there are other goalkeepers beyond the two that are public, Kovacevic and Stolarczyk. It's going so well. It wouldn't surprise me. And clearly, I think they've been very clear to stress that there are other names on the list as well. So I'm sure he is one they are aware of, having, you know, seen him in the Championship, but I don't know for sure about Norwich. In terms of the fee, I think what Norwich have shown really is that if the target is right, if the profile is right, then they are willing to go and commit fees for players. Ben Napper said this recently. You look at, you know, was it 5.8 on Jurasek, 8.5 on Antti Sinnat. Cordoba was 4. There are others as well that their foursome was in around that region. So yeah, I think in terms of Championship level, I would expect them to pay a decent fee to sign one permanently. And clearly, if you're looking at a goalkeeper at Sporting Lisbon, I think they paid 5 million euros for him. And the reports in Portugal are that they'd like that kind of back, or as much of that back as possible. So that would represent a very decent fee for Norwich. Stolarczyk, they're not going to get him out of Leicester for cheap, that's for sure. So that would command a decent level of fee. So yeah, I think we are looking at probably a level of fee. Will it be, you know, double figures? No, of course it won't, in terms of the millions. But you know, I could see them, because it's such a crucial position and it sets the foundations as well. If the quality is right, if the profile is right, if it's one that they like, I could see them, yeah, putting down some money as they've proven to do since Marco Attanasio took over, really, and since he began his involvement in the club. They are willing to back and sanction those level of deals. So yeah, a decent one is response. I won't give you an exact number because I don't know, is the truth, but I'd expect them to, yeah, put a decent number on a target if they are one that they feel can really come in and contribute probably straight away. And maybe the age bracket that Paddy referenced, I think Stolarczyk is 24 but turns 25 in December, and Kovacevic is a little bit north of that. So again, we're talking about kind of prime age players, as opposed to maybe where they were last summer, where a lot of the work done was kind of 20, 21. I think the average age was 21 of their business all told. So yeah, it feels like we're in a slightly different space for Norwich City this summer, I would say.
Yes, and just away from transfers to round off, Faith saying, anything on the pre-season tour in the Netherlands, Jimbo as well, Spark Canaries and Hello Lads, any news / updates on the pre-season? Dutch games, playing in the Zeeland area in Holland, he sort of references there some of the Eredivisie teams in and around the area. Are we expecting Norwich to just be playing Dutch opposition, Paddy?
No, I don't know. Hearing might be a Greek club, might be a Belgian club, and then obviously Dutch clubs as well. So latest on that one is the nature of this is you put together an itinerary that's various different clubs, and you have to sign contracts effectively to, I guess, we will see you on X date at X location, and then lock it in that way. And they're still waiting for one contract back from their pre-season program. I think Liam Manning naturally probably wanted an input as well. There's a potential that, because I think the way it's been at least intimated at the start of the summer was that it would be two under-21s games. The under-21s are out there with them. And then two first-team games. I think there might be more, which may be Manning's input, more of a mix-and-match approach to that. So still four games in total over that week. But maybe an opportunity to mix up the groups and I guess see younger players in amongst more experienced players and vice versa. So once that one final contract's done, then I think the club are quite keen to get that out there. I think they'd like to have done it before now, but of course, until everything's done, nothing's done. It's one of those. So yeah, that's where we're at with that. Hopefully, a little bit like Medic, you know, it maybe as soon as, you know, the next day or two, it may be into next week. But they're pretty much there. It's going to be, as I say, different Euro opposition, and unless it changes again. And I think it's going to be four games of a more mix and match approach. So if you had him out there, we'll see you out there, because we're going to be out there trying to bring you as close as we can to the action. And that hopefully, you know, we'll be able to say hello. If you're there, come and say hello to us.
And that is the exact reason why you should be subscribing to the Pink and Plus this summer. All the transfer content will be coming your way across our channels. All the pre-season coverage will be bringing you sort of behind the curtain as well on the YouTube channel. I think we're close to 11,000 subscribers. So if you're not hit that subscribe button, definitely do that ahead of pre-season. Plenty of good content coming your way and we're out there. Also producing a magazine this summer to mark the 90th anniversary of Carrow Road. We want your input. There's a tweet pinned to the top of our profile, and it's also on Facebook as well. The email address is here. We want your stories and memories from Carrow Road, what it means to you, your sort of love affair for the football club, the ground, any memories attached to it. So definitely get that into us on that email there, or you can comment underneath one of our posts and we'll try and include you in that. And with that, I think we're going to sign off this Friday lunchtime. Definitely keep it locked to our channels in case there's any moving parts, I suppose, this afternoon on Medic, or certainly over the weekend. We'll have it all covered. So with that, enjoy the sunshine. Get the sun cream on this weekend. It's going to be hot. And we'll see you in the next one.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.